Well, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. We greatly appreciate you here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. Remember, next week, we are going to recognize our graduates. So if you're a graduate, you're graduating from grade school or high school, college, or advanced degree, let Pastor Steve know. Next week, also after service, we're going to have a fundraiser luncheon for camp to help reduce the cost of camp. And my understanding is they are bringing in a dunk tank to raise money. So they've asked me to be in it. I said, fine, you know, I'll be in it. And if you have somebody you would like to be placed in the dunk tank, see Larry. Make a request. And we'll see if we can't get him in there just because we love him, right? I have a list, Larry, so I have a list of who I want. We're in a sermon series called Questions God Asks Us. I read a story recently in a book about a pastor who shares how he did a funeral for a young man in his 20s. And this young man had gotten a job, and then he went to the company's office party, and his colleagues were challenging him to down some mixed cocktails, you know, see how many drinks he could drink. And so he wanted to get along with the group, and he drank too much, and he got drunk. And then he was going to go home, but he was in no condition to drive. But none of his colleagues felt it was their responsibility to stop him. So he drove home, he crashes his car, he rolls it, and he dies instantly. Then his family was devastated by the news, that by the senseless death that was easily preventable. So the question is, who was to blame for his death? Were his colleagues to blame for encouraging him to drink? Were they to blame for not stopping him and keeping him from driving home? If they had stopped him, he would be alive today. Do they have blood on their hands? What is our responsibility towards each other? Should we just mind our own business? We are told many times to mind our own business. Or should we get into other people's business? And that leads us to today's question, where is your brother? Where is your brother? Am I responsible for my brother or my sister? And the question is, who is your brother or sister? Well, the Bible is very clear. Your brother or sister is pretty much anybody in the human race. That includes your family, your friends, your neighbors, those in need. And Jesus Christ says, even your enemies are your brother and sister. You should care about them. And so let's take out your sermon outline. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. You know, last week we talked about Adam and Eve sinning in the garden. And now verse 1 says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain, his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. See, one way we relate to God is through our worship. If you don't worship God personally in a daily quiet time where you pray and talk to Him and read His Word and meditate on His Word, if you don't worship God corporately on a regular basis like we are doing today, then you probably don't have a relationship with God. Your relationship with God is based on your worship of God, also your obedience and many other things, but primarily it begins with your worship. So Cain and Abel brought offerings to God as an act of worship. Cain was a farmer. Abel was a rancher or a shepherd. And it's interesting that God looked at Abel's offering and he was pleased with it. But to Cain's offering, he was not. And so Cain was angry. He was very angry and his face was downcast. He was disappointed. He was discouraged. He was upset. He was bitter that God did not accept His offering. So that takes us to our first fill-in on our outline. The right attitude enables us to do what is right. The right attitude enables us to do what is right. On the other hand, the wrong attitude will provoke us to do what is wrong. Genesis 4:6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, desires to have you, you must master it. When Cain came to worship God, it's apparent that he came with a wrong attitude. He came with a wrong attitude, so he brought the wrong offering. And we don't know quite for sure what God did not like about it. And it's interesting that God points out to Cain that if you just do what is right, it'll be okay. And Cain could have said, oh, what did I do wrong, Lord? What do I need to do better? What do I need to get right with you? And he could have repented and done what is right, and then he would be happy. Instead, he's angry and disappointed in God. If you feel disappointed in God today, you feel like God did not treat you right, God did not treat you fair, you are on the doorstep of sin. Sin is crouching at your door. It's ready to pounce on you and consume you. I believe that Cain's attitude was probably disrespectful to God. He probably came because he had to, not because he wanted to worship God. He was probably uncaring or prideful or bitter about his life. Maybe he was lazy or selfish. When you came to worship today, did you come with the right attitude? Did you come because you want to meet God? You want to hear some words from God? You want to be touched by God? Maybe you needed comfort from God. Maybe you need some clarity about your life. Maybe you came to be challenged and inspired. We have to have the right attitude. Because of his bad attitude, Cain brought the wrong offering. And he probably did not bring the first fruits, the first of his harvest. He probably didn't bring what was best. He probably brought what was convenient. He probably just grabbed something. Said, oh, I got to run to meet God. I'm just going to grab something. See, Abel brought the best. He brought the first. Sometimes when we worship God, we don't get closer to God because we don't worship him sincerely. We only worship him and bring convenient offering. We come to worship at a convenient time. We give what is convenient, not what is a sacrifice. Maybe you're just doing the bare minimum to get by with God. That's not a relationship. So God asked Cain several questions. Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? He wants Cain to examine his heart and realize that he has a wrong attitude towards God. He wants Cain to look at his heart and get right with God. All he had to do was to get right. If you want your life to be better, if you feel your life's going in the wrong direction, you're struggling with relationships with people, the people you love, maybe it's because your attitude's wrong and you're doing the wrong thing. So all you have to do is do what is right. Have the right attitude towards God and other people and do what is right. I think Cain's problem was he was consumed with jealousy. Remember jealousy we talked about a few months ago? Jealousy means God owes me. Someone else got more than me, and I'm angry at God because God owes me, but because I can't do anything to God, maybe I'll take it out on my kids or my spouse or the guys at work or my employer. It's all about me. I'm entitled to whatever I want. I deserve other people, I deserve that other people should make me happy, and I shouldn't have to worry about me making them happy. You get jealous and you blame God. Your anger is focused on God. God is unfair to me. You ever feel that way? You ever feel your coworkers or your schoolmates talk that way? That you can tell they're angry and they're jealous? When you feel entitled, when you feel that people owe you something, you get angry when you don't get it. And if you want to get it, you might lie, cheat, or steal to get what you want. Not too long ago, jealousy and envy reminded me that we were old friends. I was at a place, it's kind of funny because I was at a wedding and one of my friends from 40 years ago, I hadn't seen in 40 years, someone said, oh, he's here and he wants to meet you. He wants to meet me. We were friends in high school and I hadn't seen him in 40 years. And it's so funny because instantly I thought, oh, I wonder what he looks like. You know? I know he's successful because I know his career. But I immediately want, you know how you go to the reunion, you want to compare yourself to everybody else. They have a better job, you know, so I'm thinking, oh, I wonder what he looks like. Did he lose all his hair like me? You know, if God was fair, he'd be at least completely bald. So he comes and he has a full head of hair. And I'm like, really? Then you think, oh, maybe he's gained like 200 pounds and I'm just this slim. No, he looks exactly the same. And it's weird because when you're jealous or you're petty or envious, it just grows. And finally I think to myself, surely I have more grandchildren. You know, my old standby, my all fallback thing, surely I have more grandchildren than him. And no, he has six. And I thought, great, you know. And it's what's sad is it, you know, this is kind of running through my head as I see him coming and approaching and talking with him. And it kind of ruined it for me because am I that petty? Am I that jealous? Am I that envious? Yes, I'm human. I need a Savior just like you and me. And so it tempts us. And now understand this. I didn't say anything bad. I was grateful for his life. You know, when I think like that, I think, God, I got to stop and pray for this man that God will continue to bless him, give him even more hair on his head, trimmer body. Because, you know, we have to pray the best. If we pray for the worst, it just makes us worse. You know, we have to have the right attitude. But I was amazed that I could be so petty in an instant like this. And that leads to our second point. Sin is crouching at the door. Sin tempts us in two ways. God was pleased with Abel's offering, but not with Cain. And Cain should have simply humbled himself before the Lord and desired to do what is right, and God would have shown what to do. You know, this Bible shows us what to do and what is right. We just need to know it. We just need to be willing to listen. And God assured him that he would be blessed if he did what was right, what he wanted. But he chose to be angry. He chose to be disappointed, and sin was waiting to just consume him. You know, sin wants us to give in to that greed, to that lust, to that anger and hate. And we sin in two ways. The first one is this. We give in to doing what is wrong. We just give in. We just let the devil have his way. We eat that forbidden fruit. We commit that sin against God. We allow that lust or greed or anger to grow into a powerful force that must be satisfied. We give in to the desire to sin. We eat the forbidden fruit. We hurt others. We lash out at them. Jesus said that if you hate someone, it's just as bad as murder. The second way we sin is this. We give up on doing what is right. See, most people I know are not going to steal, lie, and cheat. You know, lie, cheat, and steal, and get what they want. They're good people. All of you are good people. But we still sin because we do not do what God wants us to do. So we may not give in and commit an act of sin, but we give up on doing what is right. That might mean if you're having financial problems and you see something that you want at the store and you can't afford it, we give up on saying no, and we give in to using our credit card and racking up more debt. We give up on doing the right thing. One is a sin of commission. We commit the sin. The other is a sin of omission. We omit doing what we know God wants us to do. One is just as bad as the other. We don't do what God commands us to do. We don't share the gospel. We don't serve others. We don't worship God. We get lazy about reading our Bible and praying. We stop giving God our best, and we just give God leftovers. Our leftover time, we worship God when it's convenient. We give up on giving God our best talents. We just serve Him when we feel like it. We give up on giving our tithes and offerings. We just give leftover money. Have you sinned in this way? What have you given up on doing for God? Or what have you given into? We all sin. Our third point says this: our attitude determines our actions. The way you think and process things determines the way you feel and what you do. Genesis 4:8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. He lied to his brother. "Let's go out on the field." He deceived him. This is what they call premeditated murder. He planned it. And sinful attitudes that are carried away by our lust and desires, inflamed by temptation, leads to sinful action. So Cain kills his brother. And you have to remember, then back in then, it's not like he shot him or something. He probably killed him with his bare hands. And that is an act of passion, of hate. Then Genesis 4:9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" Today's question, where is your brother? God's asking this to give Cain a chance to confess his sins and get right with him. Abel came and says, I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be restless, a restless wanderer on the earth. He was a farmer. Now the ground will rebel against him. Because everything we touch when we sin is cursed. See, the list of questions grow as Cain continues to rebel against God. First it was, why are you angry? Why are you downcast? Where is your brother? What have you done? What have you done? The same question God asked Adam and Eve. What have you done? It's like God is shocked that they could do this. The questions escalate as Cain's sins escalate, because sin gives birth to more sin. When Cain was asked, where is your brother? He could have confessed his sin and God would have forgiven him. Instead, he spewed hate and venom. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the rest of the Bible says, yes, yes, you are. You are. We are our brother's and sister's keeper. But the way he said is, I don't care about my brother. And that's why God asked him to help Cain understand that Abel has value in God's eyes. All human beings have value in God's eyes, and we have to care. See, if you are here today and you're filled with bitterness, selfishness, envy, or an entitlement attitude, you will never be happy because nobody's going to make you happy. You can choose to be happy by changing your attitude, which changes your actions. Otherwise, the sin will grow and grow. Do what is right consistently and faithfully, and your relationships will eventually be right. See, the problem with Adam and Eve sinning against God and the problem with Cain sinning against his brother, it's a question of love. Love is the problem, the lack of love. Let's look at Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you with all your strength. The second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. These are called the greatest commandment, to love God completely and love your neighbor sincerely. Adam and Eve broke the first commandment to love God completely when they disobeyed his command. If we love God, we will obey him. Now Cain breaks the second commandment when he kills his brother Abel in a fit of jealousy and anger. So in two generations, we broke all the commandments just like that. We all have broke all the commandments, because if we break one, we break them all. But on one hand, Adam and Eve felt guilty, and they felt shame by what they had done. But Cain did not. Cain hung on to his resentment and his bitterness. We're not going to read the rest of the scriptures, but he was just afraid that someone might get even with him, that his brothers and sisters would get even with him, and that's what he was afraid about, that someone would kill him too. And so God said, no, I'll put a mark on your head, the mark of Cain, and you won't be killed. See, he was just sorry he got caught. He didn't want to repent. He didn't want to ask for forgiveness. And so the saddest part of all of this is where Cain ended up in Genesis 4:16. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. He went out. He left the presence of God. He was no longer in the presence of God. Sin separates you from the presence of God. And if you're not willing to repent or accept the salvation and forgiveness of sin that Christ offers, you will live away from the presence of God for all eternity. I don't want to live away from the presence of God. I want to live in the presence of God. Where is your brother? Where is your sister? And so for the rest of the sermon, let's talk about how, number four says, how to develop a caring attitude. God wants us to care about human beings. He wants us to love our neighbor. How does that happen? I am my brother's keeper. The Bible very clearly says, yes, yes, you are. See, Cain really viewed Abel as an adversary or as an enemy. He thought Abel was the source of all his problems, why he was unhappy. And see, when we're not happy in life, when we feel entitled, we start casting blame and picking, well, it's mom's fault or dad's fault or that boss at work or my coworker. We start casting blame when we feel entitled. Maybe Cain thought that Abel was more gifted. He was more successful. Maybe he thought he was being tempted by the devil. Yeah, it's his fault. He's stealing mom and dad's affection. You know, Abel's the one that is the smart one and you are not. And then the temptation was, man, if I get rid of Abel, maybe mom and dad will love me more. If I get rid of Abel, if I take him out of the picture, maybe God will love me more. God will be pleased with me. What a horrible temptation, a horrible lie. The lies fuel the hate and anger already in his heart. See, cursed people. People living under the curse of sin, the consequences of sin will simply cause more problems for other people. People bless people will bless people. If I'm under the grace of God and I embrace it, it is easy to love and bless other people. So the question is, should we mind our own business or should we get into other people's business? The answer is yes. Yes to both. We mind our own business, but we get into other people's business because we're talking about eternity. But we need godly wisdom. We need godly love. We need a direction on when to act and how to act. So the first thing we need to do is we need to love God deeply. We need to love God deeply. If we want to really care about people, we have to love God. 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us the command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This verse is a very simple message. If you love God, you will love people. If you don't love people, you don't love God. See, it's a very simple test. It's a simple way to look into my own life. All you have to do is just ask yourself right now, what meaningful and tangible action am I doing for another person that is not family or a close friend? Am I serving anyone? Am I helping anyone? Am I doing good for someone else that's not a family or a close friend? Are you loving someone? If you can't think of anybody, maybe you're not telling God you love Him very much. See, we try to make this easy here at Northwest. You simply join a small group. I love our small groups here at Northwest. People telling about what they're doing, how they're helping each other, how they're praying for each other. A small group is a safe and friendly place to minister to each other, to be each other's keeper, to watch out and love and laugh with each other. My small group was helping in a ministry yesterday. We just laughed as we did the work because we love God. We want to serve. See, our doctrine of salvation is vertically oriented. God reaches down to us. It's a vertical relationship. But the doctrine of become like Jesus, our goal is to become more and more like Jesus, is horizontal. It is to each other. Our scope, the scope is horizontal. How we relate and serve one another. It's based on our attitude and actions for each other. So we need to love God deeply. The second thing we need to do is think the best. We need to think the best about others. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Selfish ambition. Cain wanted to promote himself. Vain conceit. He thought he was better than his brother, so he is disappointed when his brother did better. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. If you keep thinking that other people are losers, failures, that's all you'll see in them. And that's a sin when we think that way. And so when I'm struggling with people that need counseling and they wear me out and they keep calling, I develop a bad attitude sometimes. But I have to try to keep my perspective by praying the best for that person. God, if you want me to help them, I'll help them. I pray that they will, you know, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow stronger, more responsible, be a better husband, better wife, a better son, a better daughter. I have to make sure I am praying the best for them. Praying that these people be more than they are. I need to see the potential and I have to be willing to reach them. I know they are not perfect and neither am I. I just need to consider them better than me. So we love God deeply And then we change our attitude towards other. Well, we appreciate them and see the good. God wanted Cain to see value in his brother, but he only saw an obstacle. If you're in a relationship now, you see that person as a problem or an obstacle. No, God says, see the value in them. If you see good in them, it'll help change your attitude. The third thing, we need to make them a priority. Make that person that God wants you to love a priority. Philippians 2:4, each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. We live in a me world, right? It's all about me. I want to be entitled. I want to get on Instagram and Facebook so people will notice me. But God says, no, you look out for the interests of others. If you want to be a better spouse, a better son, a daughter, or father and mother, you make that other person the priority. You meet their needs before you try to meet yours. If you wanted your workplace to be a better place, you make the employees in that workplace a priority. You encourage them. You enable them. You help them to do better work. Be a better spouse, you make that other spouse a priority. You put their needs before yours. Now, I'm not telling you to spoil people, but seeking the best and the good that can come out of them. So stop being selfish and thinking only of yourself. Think about others and what God wants you to do for them. So where do you start? You look around. Maybe it is a family member you're not getting along with, or a parent or a child. Maybe you look around at work or at school. You see what you can do to make your environment better. Where is God working? Who has a need? How do you tell? They tell you their problems. You spend time with people. Who needs a friend? Where can I start cultivating a godly relationship? I want to work the harvest field of souls. Do you have someone on your heart that you're angry with, that you don't consider a brother or sister? Who is your brother or sister? Do you know where they are? Are they where God wants them to be, or are they far away? If we meet someone we know that's far away from God, they are your brother or sister. You need to bring them closer to God. You need to bring them home. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, today, if you're struggling with relationships, you're not quite sure how to approach it, love God deeply. You know, think the best of this person. Do what you can to make them a better person. Not spoil them or give them what they want, but maybe what godly wisdom tells you they need. Make them a priority. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling in life because you know that you're that person. You're like Cain. You don't care about people. You know you have a selfish heart. You're not loving people. But now you realize that that's why you're not happy. That's why you're bitter and upset. Maybe it's time to get right with God. You need to get right with God. Jesus came into this world, the Son of God, to save us from our sins and to give us eternal life. He died on the cross for our sins and He rose from the dead. But He also came to give us a full and meaningful life. If you're living here today and you don't have that full and meaningful life, that means you need to follow Jesus, not just as your Savior, but as Lord of your life. You put Him first, you learn what He wants, and you follow Him. Make Jesus the Lord of your life and commit your life to Him today. Let's pray. Father, you know, you ask that question, where is your brother, where is your sister? Because you expect us to care about others. You expect us to love and serve others and help people become who you want them to be. Not just what they want themselves to be, who you want them to be. And I know, Father, that you want us to be your children, sons and daughters, your sons and daughters who trusted in you, are part of the family of God that will be with you, not just in this life and the next. So, Father, if there's someone here today who knows someone that needs to know you, that they need to love them and make them a priority, I pray that they will say, yes, God, I want to love this person and care about them, help them to be more than they are, that they will listen and make a commitment to this person, Lord. Write their name down in their prayer journal or in their Bible. Maybe there's someone here today, Father, who knows they are like Cain, or they have flashes of jealousy and envy that consume them. Father, help us to be humble and to love you deeply, to think the best about people and pray for the best in them, and help us, Lord, to make them a priority. Father, you know our heart, and I pray if there's someone who needs to make a commitment to you today, to move closer to you and get right with you, that they will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our invitation song. And if you're ready to make a commitment to the Lord, or maybe you need to confess a sin, let's stand and sing. And feel free to come forward. I'd be happy to pray with you.